enough for a quorum and a voting round. So when the alternate member arrives, he'll be able to participate in the conversation, make comments, ask questions, do all of those kinds of things. I just won't designate him as a voting member. I think we will be good to go. So is Mr. Capri just arrived?
Thurber.
Thurber, thank you. Okay, so maybe I will. He's here. First, we'll call this meeting to order. I'm going to ask everybody to silence your cell phones, if you would, please. We all like to begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So we have a quorum. Quorum is 5 per our bylaws. And our voting members today, which will be the 4 regular members and 1 alternate, will be Mr. Intermill, Mr. Shonas, Mr. Carlson, the chair as the 4 regular members, and we will appoint on a rotating basis this time Mr. Thurber to be a voting member. There's our 5. We have 1 non-voting member then today, Mr. Hannigan. And as I mentioned earlier, he'll be allowed to participate in all the conversation, the questions, etc. Just will not be a voting member. So our ROE will have the staff will come up and introduce this topic and tell us what the issue is. We'll have the applicant or the representative come up and talk with us. And we'll get any staff reports or assessments similar to the way we do in the other commission. And we'll entertain any comments from the public. I don't see any today, but if there are either in favor or against the proposal, the applicant will have a chance to make a couple of extra remarks, and then the board will begin to discuss and ask questions. And I am going to ask the board members, please wait to be recognized by name before speaking. That is not a power grab by the chair, I promise. It's just that our official minutes are the recorded version, and it's important that we know who's speaking on the verbal record, which is the official set of minutes. So if you just do that, you'll always be recognized. You can talk for as long as you need to. It's just a matter of making the identification on the record. So I'd appreciate that. And with that, I'll call, are there any report items from the staff?
Could I get the overhead, please? Nina Reese with Planning and Community Development. We have a very light agenda today, so the only 2 items listed are the approval of the minutes from the September meeting and then our regular item, which is the Pacheco House. Are there any questions before you vote on the minutes?
Thank you. So we have 1 item on the consent agenda, which is the approval of the minutes. Did all the board members have an opportunity to review that?
Yes.
Are there any changes? Then, seeing none, since by consent we'll deem the minutes approved. There is no unfinished business that I'm aware of. We have any appeals filed since the last meeting? None that we know of. So we have legal counsel. Normally have a review of what our approval criteria are, how we consider this. Do you want to do it with a slide, or do you just want to talk to it on what, for a dimensional variance, what the approval criteria are? Okay, and we'll do that then. And with that, we'll hear the regular items. So I'll call first the staff to introduce the topic.
Could I go back to the computer, please? Nina Reese with Planning and Community Development. Our team consists of myself and Elizabeth Nykamp is filling in for Gilbert LaForce for engineering. So the file number is BOA 17-004, and this is a request for the Pacheco House, and this is for their front setback specifically. So now Lori Siegel will go over the review criteria.
So there are several criteria to consider when considering a dimensional variance, and they're set forth on the screen in front of you. First, you must find, or excuse me, you may grant a variance if you find that the burdens of strict compliance with the zoning requirements, in this case the setback requirements, significantly exceed the benefit of requiring the compliance for this specific piece of property. You must consider whether the variance provides only reasonably brief and temporary relief, whether it includes an alternative plan, standards, or conditions that mitigate the anticipated impacts of granting the relief, or serve as a reasonably equivalent substitute for the current zoning requirements, or failing those two considerations, you may still grant relief if there is some other unique or equitable consideration that compels that strict compliance not be required. So again, in this particular case, you need to consider that the burden of strict compliance exceeds the benefits of requiring that compliance, and then in addition, that there is some consideration that would compel that strict compliance not be required.
Thank you, Lori.
Are there any questions of the attorney relative to what the consideration criteria are? Seeing none, please.
Okay. So this piece of property is zoned PUD, specifically the Kingsteer PUD. This requires a front setback requirement of 90 feet, and then the sides and rear are 35 feet. So all of the surrounding properties are also under that same zone. Just to give you a little bit of background, the site plan was approved with the home being in its current location, July 21st of 2016. Staff erred in interpreting the land development code to where the allowance for the setback to be reduced for a corner lot to apply to this parcel when it should only apply to lots that require half an acre or less. If this were the case, then they could be, the setback could be reduced down to 45 feet, which would make it legal, but this section of the land development code does not apply to this lot because it exceeds half an acre. So because of that, they are requesting to legalize their home at 58 feet from the front where 90 feet is required. This came up as an issue for us when they came in wanting to get a new access permit. Their driveway was approved off of the cul-de-sac, Fontley, but because of some issues that the applicant will kind of expand upon, it's not really possible for them to have the driveway off of Fontley. It would be very long. So they have requested that the driveway be legalized off of Castlecombe instead. So in order for us to approve their access point, we need to also legalize the setbacks and bring the property into compliance. So there are only two alternatives that would result in the applicant not requiring a board of adjustment. The first one would be to demolish a portion of the home to meet the 90-foot front setback requirement. I believe this would take off pretty much the entire garage and a portion of the home as well. And then the next one would be to revise the PUD to reduce the setback requirements for the entire PUD. What that involves is actually everybody within the PUD, so hundreds of people would have to be in agreement to this change because it would be changing the zoning for each and every one of those individuals within the PUD. So that would obviously be a very involved process for the applicant to go through. Staff has recommended two conditions of approval. The first one is that this approval only applies to the home as it stands today. So if they wanted to do any additions to the home in the future or build new structures, they would need to meet that 90-foot setback requirement. And then the second one is that they apply for an access permit and are granted an access permit off of Castlecombe within 30 days. 12 adjacent property owners were notified of the request by mail, and the property was also posted with a sign. We received actually a surprising number of responses for this application. So we received 3 in favor, 1 in with no opinion that later on changed their no opinion to an in favor, and then 2 in opposition. I was able to contact one of those in opposition that didn't realize that the home was already in existence after finding out that the home is already there. They no longer have any opposition, but they did not submit a new letter. So you could look at that as either 2 in opposition still, or if you choose to revise that based on the verbal communication. So that concludes my staff presentation. Elizabeth Nykamp is here to answer any kind of engineering questions, but there are no engineering concerns.
So the chair has one question that's a legal question before we begin, because I think it's very, very important. To me, the address matters here. And technically, the address of this home is on Fontley, correct?
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Okay. So there is technically a 90-foot setback from the Fontley address, correct?
There is a 90-foot setback requirement along both Fontley and Castlecombe because the PUD didn't give for any kind of allowance for a corner lot, and because the land development code does not allow for any allowance.
Okay, but I understood it's a front setback that's 90, correct?
The front setback on a corner lot applies to both sides.
Oh, it does?
It does.
Thank you. So the address then doesn't matter whether it's Castlecombe or Fontley for purposes
it does not.
Of this discussion.
It does not. So
okay.
Even if they weren't asking to change anything, if they came in and wanted to do an addition to the home in the future and we realized, oops, the house doesn't meet the setback requirements, they would be looking at doing a dimensional variance at a later date. We're just able to resolve this issue sooner rather than later because they want to change their access point.
I understand. Okay, so, yes.
While you're on that topic of the future development, that was one of the criteria is that they can't do anything basically without abiding by that 90-foot setback in the future. Is that just for wherever they might add to the house, or they're going to have to come get a whole other variance for anything they want to do?
No, that's only if they were wanting to add to the house and they weren't meeting the setback requirements.
Of the addition?
Of the 90 feet for the addition. So if they, let me just go back.
Well, they don't meet it right now. So if they add to the house, that 90 feet only applies to the addition?
So in order for an addition to be approved by our department, if this dimensional variance is approved, their addition would have to meet the setback requirements. So any addition would have to be at that 90 foot or beyond.
Right, just the addition.
Right.
Okay, great.
So the is there house- anything further, Mr. Carlson?
I do have one more question.
Please, go ahead.
When did this come up? You know, it's been 18 months since they approved it. What did this come up only because they wanted to change the address? Or I'm asking when did we catch this mistake? And
yeah, so it was probably, I don't know, a month and a half ago that they came to the front counter and they were wanting to get a new access permit to change their access point from Fontley to Castlecombe. Mm-hmm. And that's when it was brought up. Our department actually doesn't issue the addresses. That's through enumerations. So it doesn't really have anything to do with the address itself. It has more to do with their access point.
Right. So up until a month ago, nobody knew this was an issue?
Right.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Anything further? Mr. Intermill, you had a question?
He answered it.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions for staff? Okay, with that, we'll invite the applicant up to speak.
Hi. Okay.
And if you could please sign in as well. Do we have a sign-in sheet?
Right here?
Yes, thank you. Only if he speaks. If he comes up to speak, yes.
Not really sure where to start. This is my first time, so thank you all for giving me this opportunity. I guess I'm confused a little bit, Nina, because our builder told us this was a problem. I'm confused because you're asking when did this first come up? It kind of came up, didn't? When did that count? Which part of the, because this whole thing has confused me completely because
excuse
I was
me,
wanting
just a moment. About.
Mr. Chair, do you mind if I just briefly explain?
No, please, okay. Go ahead.
I wasn't planning on going this far back, but I will anyways. So their builder had come in and initially requested that the access point be off of Castlecombe. At this time, the land development code was still being misinterpreted to where they could receive the reduced setback for a corner lot. So they were told, well, no, you can't. You could only have the reduced setback for this side if your access point was off of Fontley Court. So their site plan was then approved based upon the access point being off of Fontley Court, and then the Castlecombe side then being the side setback. So the site plan was still approved at that time in July. And so after they received the approval, we were done with it. We don't go back and review our site plan approvals after the fact. It's done. It wasn't brought up again, and the site plan wasn't reviewed again to see if there was an issue until she came in for the access permit off of Castlecombe Lane. And then we reviewed the site plan and determined that it really doesn't matter where the access point is because the house should have never been approved in its location. Wasn't planning on going back that far, but maybe that helps a little bit.
Because I wanted them to understand that when my builder presented this to me,
here, talk to you.
When the builder presented this to us and told us that we're going to have to do a, you know, as he said, we're going to put the address as Fontley, but don't worry about it. We can get a variance done. So I feel like I was a little bit misled from my builder. And now then Nina tells me that it was completely done before and we need to move the house, which there's no way. Physically or financially, I don't know how that would be done. So that's why I wanted you guys to know that I felt like we were misled as finally building our dream home. You know, this is it. I can't move again. I'm 50, in my 50s. I'm done. One level, we're good. So that is the main. One of the other issues of why this is a concern is we have an 8-year-old, and although he does know how to dial 911, if there's an emergency, there's no way he's going to be able to explain to the firemen in an emergency that you're going to go to Fontley and you're not going to see the house because the front of the house and the current driveway face Castlecombe. Tri-Lakes Fire Department also responded that they are in favor of changing this because it does cause some confusion. My husband has diabetes. We missed medication because FedEx couldn't find our house. And we've also had some problems. Some neighbors don't like that they're driving down the 1400 block of Castlecombe, and then they see the front of a Fontley house, or it says 2300. They don't know it goes to Fontley. So that's causing additional confusion for people in the community. So, I mean, again, I can't move the house. There's no way. And to put a 500-foot driveway in, the HOA has said no. There's a letter in there. They said because of our leach field, the culvert, and then there's a walking trail. To put a regular driveway 500 feet out is just not within the aesthetics of the community. And so I feel like I'm kind of like between a rock and a hard spot. Our builder told us one thing, HOA is saying nothing, and here we are.
Do you have any questions, Mr. Intermill?
The driveway is already put in, correct?
Yes. The one towards Castlecombe, the one going out to Castlecombe. We do not have one out to Fontley.
Explain that. the builder?
Because he was under the impression, or what he told me, was don't worry, we're going to do this, what's it called, the variance?
The dimensional variance,
and it's fine. I've done this before. He's built numerous homes. In fact, our neighbor directly, I can point right there. See them on there? Theirs is actually closer. He built that home as well, and he had no problem in the past getting the address there instead of making them go out to Fontley. So he, I guess, was under the impression it was just going to be the original request the variance, and we're all fine and dandy. And then I get stuck after we own the home doing the rest.
Anything further? Any other questions for the applicant? Yes, Mr. Shaunis.
So I'm Steve Shaunis. Good morning.
Good morning.
So why is the setback off Fontley so long, so large? What's the...
That's where they tell us to put the home.
Okay.
Because it's King's Deer, and there's a whole thing about blocking views. So our house is generally right about here on the actual land, okay? They didn't want it any further this way because it would have blocked their view. They didn't want it any further down here because it would block their view. So all of the homes, when you go there, there's pretty much a set area of where you are allowed to build.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then neighbor I'm following, as they already built by the time you're talking to your own builder?
These other homes? Yes.
Yeah.
They were all built.
The ones on what's that road called, Continelli or?
Castlecombe here?
Castlecombe.
Everybody's been there. As you can see, this is an open lot. Nobody's built there. All these homes were there. We're actually kind of the last to join.
Okay.
So our positioning was more limited than people who are first getting there.
Right. Okay. And then you said you spoke with Tri-Lakes, and, you know, I don't know if you spoke with the sheriff department or anything like that.
This is who they sent letters out to.
Okay, so neither of you, your builder, have talked to those two, departments.
No, we got a response from Tri-Lakes.
Okay, very good. Okay, yeah. Chair, that's all my questions.
Thank you. Anybody else have any questions for the applicant? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And just one quick question for clarification from staff. Just to be clear, it wouldn't matter whether this was Castlecombe or Fontley. The 90-foot setback applies either way, so it really doesn't matter.
That is correct.
So even building the 500-foot driveway would not solve the problem.
That is correct.
Okay.
So either way, they're accessing the houses out of compliance in its existing location due to the site plan being approved. I understand that they would like to change the address and they would like to change the access point. We can't release that for enumerations to complete that change of address unless this goes through and unless the access
But the bottom line is the dimensional variance is required regardless of the address.
Exactly. Okay. Doesn't matter where their access is.
Thank you.
Right.
Any other questions for staff? Okay, at this time I see none, but I'll make the call if there's anybody in the audience who wishes to speak in favor and seeing none, and against and again seeing none. So with that, we will deem the testimony portion closed. And at this time, I'll entertain any board discussion on your thoughts, or does anybody have any comments that they'd like to make relative to the case? Seeing none, does anybody need any more time to evaluate the responses or the application? And seeing none, the chair will entertain a motion. Mr. Thurber, would you like to try to make a motion?
Yes. Yes, motion to approve.
Oh, okay.
Motion to approve.
Okay. So just to clarify, and for procedural, just verify whether or not my statement is accurate, that regards regular item number 4, and if you read across from the left to the right, file number BOA-17004, your motion is for, on the dimensional variance for the Pacheco House, your motion is for approval in accordance with resolution number 1 with 2 conditions and 1 notation. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
And do I have a second?
I second that.
Second by Mr. Intermill. So we have a motion and a second for approval of BOA-17004 dimensional variance for the Pacheco House in accordance with resolution number 1 with 2 conditions and 1 notation. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Here.
Mr. Shonas.
So just to clarify, what are the conditions and what are the notations?
The conditions are the items
recommended
in the staff report relative to the one was relative to the fact that the variance applies only to the existing house and that that doesn't give them license to expand or do other things within that variance. The other one is here we go. So the first is that the approval applies only to the plans as submitted. Any expansion or additions to the existing dwelling may require separate Board of Adjustment application and approval if the development requirements of the zoning district can't be met. That's the first one. The second is that approval by the Planning and Community Development Department of a driveway permit for access to Castlecombe Lane is required within 30 days of approval. And the notation is that physical variance is approved for a proposed structure, except for lot area variances, which this is not, are valid only if construction of the structure is initiated within 12 months of the date of this approval. So those are the two conditions and one notation.
Very good. Thank you.
Any further questions?
No, sir.
Any other discussion or questions on the motion? So we have a motion made and seconded, and discussion is now closed. The chair will call for the roll. Mr. Intermill.
Aye.
Mr. Shaunis.
Aye.
Mr. Carlson.
Aye.
Mr. Thurber.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye, and the motion is approved unanimously 5-0. Are there any other items from the staff?
We do not have a Board of Adjustment scheduled for December.
Okay.
Any Christmas present.
Closing
yeah,
comments?
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Any closing comments from the board members, attorneys, staff?
Just
with
one.
Mr. Shaunis, please.
I just got a question. Nina, is this builder still building in El Paso County?
I believe so, yes.
Right. And it's common practice for this builder to do things like this?
I don't think that I'm familiar enough to answer that question.
Okay.
Or feel comfortable answering that question.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Anything further? With that, the meeting is adjourned.